But I'd like to ask Brother Strode, if he would, to come back up to the mic. And I would like for us, before I try to preach today, I'd like for us to sing the song, "He Touched Me." And there, I've heard the testimonies of a lot of people that are here today. And I've heard some of you testify of having been saved for a lot of years. And then we've had some here just recently that have testified of being saved and joined the church. And I want to ask everybody that's here today that knows for certain that you've been born again, that you've had a real experience of salvation with the Lord, while we sing this song, I want us to take just a moment to give God thanks in this way, to think back to the time when you were saved, to think back to the trouble that you had in your heart and how that felt, and to think back to God removing that condemnation and that guilt and that load of sin from your heart and how that felt. And I'll tell you, folks, it's the best thing I've ever experienced.
Amen.
And I just want us to think about that for a moment, what God has done for us when he saved us while we sing this beautiful old song.
Number 14. Shackled by a heavy burden, of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me.
Amen. Bless you, Sister Timms. Appreciate that. Let's remember this. I'm thankful that when I was growing up, that I was blessed enough to be around people that knew what it meant to be saved. I'm glad that I didn't have somebody convince me that I would just have to, you know, try to be a good person, or that I would just have to go stand up at the front of a church and repeat a prayer. I grew up around people that told me if I wanted to be saved, I'd have to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus and be born again. And that's what happened to me in 1973. And I'll tell you what, nothing short of that will get you into heaven either. Appreciate the testimonies. Bless you, Sister LaVon. Amen. Amen. So remember this. Anybody else? Bless you, sister. Anyone else? Anything on your heart? I would like to read one verse of Scripture at this time that's found in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And I want to read in this a statement that the Apostle Peter made when he had been sent to the household of Cornelius to take the gospel to them. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" That's what I'd like to speak about today, the fact that God is no respecter of persons. You know, in the world that we live in today, we've got access to things that are going on not just nationwide, but across the globe, we can hear about things that are happening all over the world. We can get the news quicker than any generation of people has ever been able to. I mean, there has been such great advancements in that way. We can hear things now that happen in the same day where people many, many years ago may have not heard about something that happened for a long time after it had taken place. And it seems like that I've heard many people say this, it seems like that most of the news anymore is bad news. There's no shortage of bad news. We hear bad news all the time. You can find bad news in the newspaper. You can find it on the news broadcast. And there's just plenty of things that happen in the world that cause people to be sad and to distress and hear bad things happening all the time. But, you know, this book here, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, contain the best news that you will ever hear. And the gospel is that. The gospel is the good news. And I believe that this verse that I have read before you today, when the Apostle Peter finally, it seems, came to the realization of this, that God is no respecter of persons. I'm going to tell you something. That is good news for the human family. It's a wonderful thing that God is no respecter of persons. Now, I want to go through just a little bit in summary of what we are told in this 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We are told in this that there was a centurion. His name was Cornelius. And he had been praying, and he had been giving alms. And the Bible tells us that his prayers had come up to God as a memorial. And the Lord gave him a vision. And it's really a very interesting chapter how that God set all this up. Because God gave Cornelius, he showed Cornelius in a vision that he was to send for a man by the name of Peter. And he told him, and he showed him in this vision exactly where he could find him in Joppa. He said he's there in a house that's by the seaside. He's dwelling with another man named Simon, who was a tanner. And God showed him in this vision exactly where Cornelius could be found. And he instructed him that he needed to send for him, that he might hear what the Apostle Peter would tell him. And the Bible also tells us that the Apostle Peter there in Joppa, about noon, it says it was about the sixth hour, and in what we know, it would have been about noon that he went up there on the rooftop to pray. And God showed him a vision. God put him in a trance, and he showed the Apostle Peter in a vision a great vessel as a great sheet knit at four corners, coming down from heaven with all sorts of animals on that. That would have been considered unclean for a Jew to eat. And God told the Apostle Peter in this, when he saw that vision, he said, "Rise, kill, and eat." But the Apostle Peter said that he would not do that because he said that he had never eaten anything that was common or unclean. And so God, the second time he showed him this, he told Peter, he said, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou uncommon."
And so he wasn't, God wasn't trying to get him to eat these unclean animals. He was trying to show him in this vision that he was getting ready to send him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And so he had to show the Apostle Peter this vision in order to get him ready for that. And the Bible tells us that while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And the Apostle Peter, he obeyed what the Spirit of the Lord was telling him to do, and he went to this man's house by the name of Cornelius. And when he got there and he saw what was going on, and you know, it seems to me like that this was the point that the Apostle Peter really began to understand this. Now, there were things that had already transpired prior to this that the Apostle Peter really should have been already, should have been able already to have known that God was not a respecter of persons. He should have realized that when he witnessed what Jesus did with the Samaritan woman at the well. He should have realized that in the nature of the Great Commission, when the Lord told them that they were to go into all nations, that they were to preach the gospel to everyone, he should have realized then that God was no respecter of persons. But it seems like that this vision that God gave to him, and when he went to the household of Cornelius and heard the things that Cornelius related to him, that it just really seemed to open his eyes to this fact. And he said, and he made the statement, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." And I want to tell you something today, and I've asked everybody today here that knows that they are saved by God's grace. A moment ago I asked everyone as we sang that song to think back to the time that God saved your soul. And I want you to know something today, that if you're here and you have not experienced that, if you have not been saved by the grace of God, the Lord didn't just make provision for those of us here today who can say that we are saved. He didn't just make provision for us to be saved. He made provision for you to be saved as well. God made a universal plan of salvation. He made a way of salvation that has been there for everybody from the very time of Adam, the first person on earth. God made a way of salvation for Adam and for every one of Adam's race to be saved. If I'm not mistaken, I believe there are about 7 billion people on the planet right now. But all those that have lived before, all those who are living now, all those who may yet be born into the world and live before the time that the Lord returns and the world is no more, God made a way for everyone that ever has or is or ever will live on the face of this earth to be saved. He died. The Lord Jesus Christ died for all of Adam's race. Everyone. Now, you could say today, well, that's, preacher, that's elementary. We know that. I'll tell you what, that's not accepted truth among everyone. There are those that believe, and if you don't realize this yet, you need to realize it. There are those that believe that Christ died for certain ones, and that those ones that he died for are the only ones that will be saved. That system of belief is basically known as Calvinism, and what they believe is that God had determined even in eternity, even before the world began, that God had determined those who would be saved. They are commonly called the elect, and that he had determined those who would be saved, and that they're the only ones that would be saved and that could be saved, and everybody else would die and go to hell. But listen, God did not make that type of plan of salvation, and I want to share some scripture with you today that I believe makes it conclusive. And it makes it unarguable that God made a way for everybody to be saved. Isn't that good news? That ought to be good news today. If you're here and you're lost and you're separated from God, that ought to be wonderful news today, that God made a way for you also to be saved, that God made a way for you to have eternal life, that God made a way for you to be saved to where you too can stand up and sing and reflect upon that time that he touched you down in your soul and made you to realize that your sins had been forgiven, that burden had been taken away, and that you were made a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's for everybody. You know, you think about the things in the world today. You think about all the things that are in the world today that only certain people are able to benefit from. You know, we have had blessings. Those of us that have grown up in this nation, we have had blessings that other nations have not known. Amen? I mean, we have been blessed with things. We have been blessed with a lifestyle. We have been blessed with a culture. We have been blessed with temporal blessings that many other nations have never known and still don't know today. You know, there have been times when there have been things that people have faced in this life. There have been troubles that people have faced. There have been trials that people have faced that other people never knew anything about. People have gone through things that other people never experienced. And on the other hand, there have also been many blessings that other people have never experienced. There have been people that have lived and died even in the history of this nation. Even though we are a relatively young nation, there have been people that have already been born, lived, and died within this nation that don't know the things that we are seeing today, that never experienced, that never have had access to some of the things that you and I have access to today. But listen, from the very time that God made man on the earth until the last person that's ever been born on the earth, and I'm talking about people of every nation, of every tongue, of every color, of every culture, of every way of life that anybody has ever known. Everybody that has ever lived on the earth has had access to eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody was ever excluded. Let me tell you something. I hope that this sinks into your heart. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know this. The only one that determines where you will spend eternity is you. Because God made a way for you to be saved. And the only reason for anybody that has lived and died in this world and left into eternity, lost and separated from God. The only reason that that has ever happened or will ever happen to anybody is because they did not meet the Lord's conditions. They did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not seek Him for the salvation of their soul. It's unbelief that separates people from God. And that's all. That's all. Let me share some scripture with you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor." Crowned with glory and honor. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for who? For the elect? That He should taste death for a few people? No, that's not what the scriptures tell us. That He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I'm telling you what, when my wife and I got married and we began to raise children and those little children were born to us, and when the time came when they reached accountability, when the time came that they realized that they were lost and separated from God the way that I had realized that in the past, I was so thankful to my Heavenly Father that He had made a way for them to be saved as well, that He had made a way for my children, and now I've got grandchildren. If the good Lord is willing, in November, Shirley and I will meet our 9th grandchild, and I'm thankful that the Lord made a way for every one of them to have the same thing that Papa's got. You know, somebody told me a while back that somebody had asked them. Somebody told me that they were sharing their testimony with someone and about what the Lord had done for them. And the person said, "Well, do you believe He would do that for me too?" Oh yeah, He sure will. God is no respecter of persons. Listen, He will give to you just exactly what He's given to me and just exactly what He has given to these today that were able to sing that song and testify of the salvation of the Lord and rejoice in God touching their soul. The same God that did that for us will do the same thing for you. But I'm going to tell you what, there's something else that goes along with God being no respecter of persons, and that is that in order for you to be saved, He requires the same thing of you that He required of me, that He required of all of us. You must repent of your sins before a holy God. You must place all of your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must seek Him with all of your heart. He won't make any exception to the conditions of salvation. He's no respecter of persons. Peter did perceive a great truth, didn't he? That God is no respecter of persons. Peter, when he wrote his epistles, he continued to talk about that. Because if you go read the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter, where the Apostle Peter was speaking about what it would be like, telling us some of the things that would transpire when the Lord comes back. He said, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that..." Who? "Any should perish. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Why do you suppose when the Apostle Paul was there in Athens and he was preaching there at Mars Hill, why do you suppose what we find recorded in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, when the Apostle Paul in that sermon told them, told those idolatrous people of Athens, he said, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Listen, if the Lord had not given his life for every man, if he had not atoned by his blood for every person, then God certainly would not have commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why is that commandment universal? Why has he commanded that of all people? Because he made a way for all people to be saved. Brother Wheat, I've heard Brother Wheat's testimony many times. If a little child years ago, growing up in Edmondson County, Kentucky, and maybe most of the world wouldn't have even known where that was at. I know when I first came to Bowling Green, I thought everybody in Kentucky was from Edmondson County. It seemed like everybody I talked to was from Edmondson County. I'd never heard of it. But these little children growing up in these backwoods farm communities, growing up in places, Brother Lowe, people living during the years of the Great Depression, times when people couldn't find two nickels to rub together, times when people had very little, couldn't really go out and buy much of anything. But listen, no matter what their status was, no matter whether a person is poor, no matter if a person is wealthy, white, black, yellow, from whatever nation they're from, everybody has always had access to the free gift of God. Everybody. Everybody. And you do today. You have access to that today. Listen, when the Lord saved me, when he saved me, you know what he did? He saved a sinner. Every time that the Lord has saved somebody, he was saving a sinner. Jesus said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Bible tells us this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'm telling you something, that right there, if you didn't have any other verse, that right there is enough to know that the Lord came to make a way for everybody to be saved, because if he came into this world to save sinners, that includes all of us, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, I was talking to a man one time. He was struggling so hard. He was struggling so hard with this. And he said, he was worried about things that he had done in the past. And he said, I just don't believe that I'll get saved because I'm just not worthy of it. And I said, well, you're right, but neither was I. God doesn't save us by our worthiness, does he? He saves us by his grace. There's none of us that deserve to be saved. But let me tell you something. No matter what a person has been guilty of, no matter what sins that you have committed, and may we always remember this as the people of God. Listen, we may not approve of the lifestyle that someone is living. We may not approve of the sins that someone is committing. But let's not ever forget this, that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for that person. The same way that he did for everybody. And listen, no matter what that you have been guilty of, no matter what vile sin that somebody may have committed, the Lord died on the cross for people to be forgiven. forgiven. And I already told you, the only sin. I believe that when, I know I did, when I repented before the Lord, I repented of all my sins. But I'm going to tell you something, the sin that separates us from God is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. You've got to trust in Jesus in order to be saved. And yes, He will save you. The gospel is for everybody. Everybody. If you look in Mark's account of the Great Commission, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says that Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every person." Why? Why? Why preach it to every person? Because He made a way for every person to be saved. I'm glad He did. I'm thankful that God is no respecter of persons. Salvation. We've benefited, as I said, from growing up here, living here. We've experienced wonderful benefits, but I'm telling you, salvation is not just an American benefit. The Lord made a way for people everywhere to be saved. If you're here today, as I said, no matter what culture, no matter where you grew up, if you grew up on the other side of the world from here, the Lord made a way for you to be saved. Know it, because it's true. God is no respecter of persons. I'd like for Brother Strode to lead a song. If you're here today and you need to be saved, you're going to have to go to Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth, and He is the life. And listen, I want to say this. If you have come to the point, if God has brought you to the realization that you're lost, if the Holy Spirit of God has let you know that you're lost, it is up to you to seek the Lord. And you won't do yourself any good by pushing Him away. You won't do yourself any good by trying to reason things in your mind. You won't do yourself any good to say, well, you know, maybe there'll be a better time. Maybe there'll be a better opportunity. That's what the devil wants you to believe. You are responsible to seek the Lord and to seek Him until you find Him. It's on you. It's on you.
Number 141. 141. The chimes of time ring out the news another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open,
will pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others. It is no secret what God can. Let's get the chorus again. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others. With arms wide open, He'll pardon. Secret.